everyone. This is Brayden and Tally with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. Here we are again, looking at the love and purity message. At this point, we've been giving kind of tips on how to set yourself apart, how to walk a set apart lifestyle here in this culture, because in this culture we're just pretty much inundated with all kinds of things that are not of God.
Yes, you pretty much have to be set to go against the stream.
Yes.
Go upstream if you're going to embrace a different lifestyle, a holy lifestyle, pure yes. lifestyle in our culture today. Mm-hmm. So we have to be intentional.
Intentional, yeah, and not just go with the flow. Someone just was talking this past weekend. We're out in Springfield area, and he was saying, you know, if you take a canoe and you go stick it in the river, and you just don't do anything, you pretty much just go, you just float on downstream. And it's the same today in our culture. If you want to go not end up in the same place that the rest of the culture is ending up, you're going to have to paddle. You have to go against the stream. And so that's what we want to do. Today we're going to talk about the effects of media on our culture, and why we should be careful about what we are putting in front of our eyes. It affects us. It affects us greatly, much more than what we are willing to admit sometimes. And so this is it's one of those topics, you know, there's a lot of different perspectives on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brayden and I even over the past couple of days have been talking about going out to a theater production, a biblical theater production out in Branson. And so we've been having this discussion over the past couple of days. So it's kind of it's one of those topics you kind of got to wrestle with and see. Yeah, Brayden tends to be pretty extreme in this area. I'm trying to work with it.
Whether it's concerts or theaters, this is our conversation sometimes. Like, Tally's just trying to convince me that we should do this. I'm just going, why? Don't really know why I want to do that. But, you know, I'm pretty entertained just watching Eddie, our little boy. Just, you know, he's pretty entertaining to me. Why do I need to pay money to be entertained?
That's really the truth of it, is that our day-to-day life in our house is a theatrical production. Brayden and I just yesterday we had music on and we were pretty much just dancing around with the children.
Like, I can just have plenty of fun just, yeah. you know, just entertaining myself.
It is. It's good fun.
Yeah. But I'm having to soften up at some points and say, okay, Tally, you really like this. You know, she grew up with more of that kind of thing. So I can sometimes just yield a little bit. Tally, amazing. Yesterday I was doing a little research on how much media is being consumed by our culture. It says here, Americans spend more than 11 hours per day watching, reading, listening to, or simply interacting with media. 11 hours a day. You're talking about close to half the day is spent consuming media in our culture. And this is a new study that just came out, and it's up from 9 hours and 32 minutes from just 4 years ago. Wow. You know, so this is an increasing trend.
Right.
That we are consuming more and more media. It's almost like this insatiable appetite for just more and more stimulation through
right.
media.
Right. So when you're talking about media, we're talking about music, we're talking about movies, we're talking about video games.
Right.
We're talking about all those kinds of things here.
Right.
iPad, you know, yeah, anything
any kind
on your
of,
iPhone.
Yeah, any kind of media, yeah. media production, yes. Okay. And one of the greatest downfalls in this area is the gaming addictions. People are just spending hours upon hours spending time playing video games. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of sad, a pretty astounding figure, but 94% of these gaming addicts are males. Mm-hmm. These young men are so attracted to this visual stimulation through the video games, 94%. Hmm. And I just look at, wow, you know, in a culture where 94% of these gaming addicts are men, just thinking about the lack of vision that there is. You know, men need to be filled with a vision that's, you know, to strengthen, you know, the weak and the poor. But these men are just getting sucked into this thing of just getting wrapped up in this world of video gaming. And it's really sad.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty, do you want to give your kind of story on how God spoke to you?
I was about 12 years old, and so this is a really personal subject for me. I was really, you know, mom and dad set a limit on how much video games I could play every day. I think it was a half hour. But I just so looked forward to that. It was really an idol in my life. Well, I can remember vividly one of the first times the Holy Spirit really spoke to me clearly. I was sitting at our table, and all of a sudden I heard this voice behind me, and it said, "Stop playing video games." I kind of looked around like, oh, wow, that just came out of nowhere. Like, I wasn't in prayer or anything. I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden this voice that I could not deny said, "Stop playing video games." And I look back at that moment, and I'm so, so thankful that God spoke to me and got me out of that whole world, because I look at where our culture is going, and there is such a dead-end road on that path. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm very thankful that God delivered me from that. And I just want to encourage any of those that are listening to beware of the dangers that are in this. There are 19 million video game addicts in our country right now. And compared to, just to kind of give a little perspective, there's only 11 million smoking addicts.
Yeah.
There's way more video game addicts than there are even smoking addicts. The average young person racks up 70,000 hours of gaming by the age of 21. I mean, that's multiple weeks of your life combined, 70,000 hours. And just think of all the time that could be spent actually doing something productive.
Right.
You know, it's just crazy how much people are consumed with this.
Right.
Another quote here at MTV, we don't shoot for the 14-year-olds, we own them. This is, you know, just a secular media outlet. They said, we own these 14-year-olds. That's their perspective. They've got them so trapped in this media addiction mm-hmm. that we own them.
Yeah. Yeah. I thinking about the games again. First of all, I'm not super familiar with the whole world out there, with the gaming world. But from what I have seen, the little bit that I've seen, we've got some major problems with it. So one of the big ones is what are these games? What is the subject of these games? I know, like, this is from years ago, like 20 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. My cousin was really into the games and stuff. And the one game he had was, I mean, basically it's very violent.
Oh yeah.
Very violent, very provocative. There's all kinds of women that are on this that are dressed terribly. And it's just, the whole culture is one of just violence and extreme, you know, it's intense, you know, it's a crazy world. And so, you know, as this thing is saying, we're spending, our children are spending hours upon hours in this fake world, in this world that is completely made up. And so it's crazy. And then, the amount of time that people are spending is just, it's completely mind blowing.
Yeah, go learn an instrument.
I know, exactly.
Do something productive.
You know? Well, that's what I was going to bring up that we actually were speaking about Love and Purity in a place in Texas. It was a really sweet group. It was a youth group that we were talking to. And there was quite a few of young people in there from ages like, you know, 9, 10 to 20 or whatever. And we asked for questions afterwards, and this little 12-year-old or something raised her hands. And she's like, if we're not supposed to watch movies or do games or anything, what are we supposed to do? Like, she's so sweet. I mean, she's really sincere. Like, she is just really, I mean, bewildered. Like, what do you do with your time if you're not watching movies and playing games? And like, if your world doesn't revolve around this, what do you do with your time? And I was like, I was throwing out a bunch of ideas. I don't know if she took any of them, but I'm just like, man, you were built for a purpose. Like, God has given you talents and giftings that you need to be developing in your life. Like, there is so much, you know, for me, I'm a, you know, brain said music, we're music people. we're going to encourage people, man, maybe you know how to do some musical thing that you're never even going to know if you're just busy doing games all the time. And you know, the verse that really sticks out to me is the one where it says, where it's talking about the harvest. It's talking about the laborers are few, mm-hmm. and pray to the God of the harvest to send out the laborers. And so, you know, there's so much work to be done, especially in our generation as we're getting ready, we're getting ready for the bridegroom to come. You know, there's so many preparations that need to be done on a spiritual level, but also on a practical level. I mean, there are people that need to be reached out to. There are, you know, this is why God said that there's always going to be the poor around us, because there's always going to be a place of ministry that's available. And so, man, there's just so much that we need to be investing in, as far as we don't have time for it. We don't have time to be watching the movies. We don't have time to be doing this gaming and things like that. There's so much to be done in the kingdom.
Yeah, and just want to mention too, a lot of these stats that I'm getting here come from a documentary, a whole series done. It's called Media on the Brain. And I recommend this. It's a great series. And he just goes through all these scientific facts, and they're just coming out with this research talking about the negative effects on your brain. Like, you know, you just have holes in your brain, just like very similar to a cocaine addict. You know, if you're addicted to video games, if you're addicted to this media stuff, then you've got a major brain problem. And that's what our culture is running into. And we have to be aware of it. You know, the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so one of the reasons Tally and I are putting this out is we want to give you that knowledge so that you can spread it around and help people realize they're destroying their minds mm-hmm. by being addicted to this stuff. A guy, it's a quote here, I want to quote from Bertrand Russell. This is a British man. He had a vision for a scientific dictatorship. So just a dictatorship, you know, look at communism. Their idea was, we're going to get people to go along with our idea, and if they don't go along, we'll make them pay violently. You know, we'll come again, we'll kill them, we'll torture them, whatever we have to do, but they're going to go along with our idea, this kind of dictatorship. Well, this Bertrand Russell, he said, hey, you don't have to make it that complicated, that, you know, severe. We'll control a whole society using media. And here's a quote from him. He said, the great majority of young people in almost all civilized countries derive their ideas of love, honor, of the way to make money, and of the importance of good clothes from the evenings spent in seeing what Hollywood thinks good for them. I doubt whether all the churches and schools combined have as much influence as the cinema or the movie theater on the opinions of the young. The producers of Hollywood are the high priest of a new religion. So his idea here is that we're going to control the whole society. What they think is good to wear, what they think is good to say, mm-hmm. everything is going to be dictated by these Hollywood superstars. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I don't want those people to be my role model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a scary world out there. The Hollywood world, there's a lot of glitz, a lot of glamour. And for someone who, you know, I think as grown adults, adults can maybe see that Hollywood world and see the downfalls. You know, we see all of the divorce, and there's no real families in Hollywood. But when you have a person on stage singing, dancing, you know, to the hilt of the Hollywood lifestyle, and what's happening is we're putting them in front of our, I mean, goodness, 7, 8, 9-year-olds, 12, 13-year-olds. They're not seeing things the same way that we are. They're not seeing things through an adult's eyes. They're seeing their stars, and they want to be like them. You know, they want to be like them. They want to do what they do. And this is, you know, I think there's a lot of parents out there in the secular world that are looking and saying, these aren't good role models for our children. But no one's willing to swim upstream. No one's, and I think even in the secular world, people are somewhat aware of that, that these are not idol, like these are not good role models. But it doesn't matter. This is what's popular. This is what the culture is thriving on. It's thriving on the teenage superstars. And so just going along with the stream, and we just keep on progressively going further and further downstream. And it's a scary place. I thought maybe I should give my testimony a little bit. my story, I guess. I grew up in a really great Christian household. My parents were very very picky about what we allowed into our home. And then I started going to, I was going to Christian school growing up and stuff. And so the all the children in my classes and stuff started watching more movies, listening to more music. And eventually there was this kind of, when I turned about 12, 13, 14 years old, this gradual kind of acceptance of, okay, everyone else is doing this. So my parents started letting up a bit more, and I was able to look at more movies and listen to the radio more and stuff like that. Well, my love for theatrical and for drama and stuff, it's kind of built into me. My mom was actually saved.
She does like drama.
She likes drama. She was she got saved out in Hollywood. She was an actress. Has a degree in acting and performance, and so I got it honest. And so I developed like a real love for the whole world of Hollywood and stuff, and as a believer, I really wanted to actually be in that world, and I thought I was going to be a light to that world, because I could see that there's a lot of darkness in the world. In the midst of that, I'm allowing all kinds of influences into my life, and I'm watching all of these movies, and I wasn't, I was very artistic and stuff, so I was into, a bunch of foreign films and all kinds of different music things from, a lot of, it wasn't just your normal stuff that was out there. And so, anyways, as I grew older in 18, 19, 20, all that stuff, and ended up living in New York City and stuff, I was inundated by this whole media world. And that's really what it is. It's a world. It's a world that's not reality.
You can escape reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And you kind of, it's really hard when you're in it to realize that you're in it. Because you're so influenced by the effect that it has on you. And so, as a person who wants to, see our children, grow up and embrace a different path, we want to embrace a different path. You know, if you're a young person out there and a single person, you want to embrace a different path, I'd warn you, be careful what you're allowing, what kind of influences you're allowing. Because
who are your children's heroes? Yeah. And that's a big question for me. Who are my children's heroes going to be? And I pray to God that they're not the sports stars and the Hollywood people.
Yeah.
I pray to God that that is not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, which movie have you been to lately that is promoting any sort of holiness in relationships? There's nothing. You can't find anything. And we feel kind of funny here sitting and bashing movies and media and stuff, because there's a documentary about Brayden and I's wedding. And then there's also a documentary about Brayden's family, which is a lot of the way that people have found out about the ministry here and stuff. So these videos are out there, and they're good. they're very, very good, these documentaries. Most of what you see out there in the secular world, and sometimes even in the Christian world, is not going to be a real good influence. And so you just really have to be careful when you're watching things, what you're allowing into your home, what you're allowing into your children's lives, into your life. It's going to affect you. It's gonna be a role in your life, and so you have to watch what you're inviting.
Yeah, and for you, Tally, I think it was a later age when, for me, I was 12 years old, and about that time we moved to Russell Creek. We're living in an Amish community. Didn't even have hardly, we didn't have a TV or anything. But for you, it was later in life. So what was it that gave you the intestinal fortitude, to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to spend hours of my time watching this screen.
Yeah. So I think that, allowing all of that into my life, it was over a period of time, and got more and more and more. And so I think it wasn't until I was about 22 or 23, and I was really had a lack of vision in my life. And I was really wanting to do what God my relationship with God, it was always really hard because I really loved God and I was very, very big part of my church and had a good godly family around me. And I just never understood why I felt like there was like this major distance. Like I felt like I couldn't press into God and didn't know what he wanted me to do with my life or anything like that. And so, when I was about 21 or 22 is when I made my first trip to Israel. And, when we made that trip to Israel, it was a wake up call for me. And I feel like God really was speaking to me on that trip and basically giving me vision for my life and saying, I am doing big things on this earth and you're stuck watching movies and doing nothing with your life. And so when God awoken me to how real he is and how much he's doing something on this earth and he's moving, he's alive. Like God is alive. He's not just, you know, it's not something that we just have to sit around. You know, I think a lot of the whole rapture theory of like, you don't know when the day or the hour is and you know, which we don't, but, this kind of idea that God's just going to whisk us off at some point. It doesn't matter really what you're doing or how you're engaging or anything. There's kind
it's
of
not
a
in
disconnect.
Response to anything.
Yeah, it's not in response to anything.
Yeah, the scripture paints a picture of we're crying out for him.
Yes. Right?
We're come. It's not, we're just sitting around apathetic.
Yeah.
Don't care. But it was more of we're engaged. Right. We want you to come. I mean, and how else would you want to welcome a king?
Right.
You
know, exactly.
into the world.
Yeah.
Or into a city, you know, even in a basic level, you know, a king coming into a city, you roll out the red carpet, you know, there's a parade, there's, you know, there's a big preparation.
Yeah.
And that's the way Yeshua is going to come.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. But the reality is that the church has kind of painted it in some places, as we're just going to be sitting around watching TV and all of a sudden we're going to disappear. And,
right.
And it's where
those people go? Yeah. Like all of a sudden they're gone.
Yeah. It's this, and it really creates an apathy within the church,
yeah.
Which is, it's very sad. And so, that's where I was. And so, anyways, I had this big revelation, went to Israel, and when I came back, it was cold turkey. And there were like, I have to say like as a young person watching these movies, I realized what it was doing to me to a certain extent. There was one, I was addicted to this TV show that I would buy the series, at the end of the series or at the end of the year. And I watched this show for hours one day. I went to bed that night and I could not remember what I looked like. All that was in my mind was this picture of this girl that was in this TV show. And I just like, my mind was so warped that I'm sitting there going, what do I look like? I mean, it was a really weird feeling. And I knew like there were several times like that where I was like, this isn't good for me. Uh-huh. But I was so addicted to the excitement, to the, like the escape that there was. Uh-huh. And so it really took something big to jolt me out of that. And so this vision, when I came home, I was like, God has something really big for my life and I have to engage. And so I quit cold turkey. I stopped all television, all movies, all secular music. I just chucked it all without even a blink of an eye. Like it wasn't some hard thing. It was very easy, to just walk away. And so I think that's what vision is so important. Understanding our children, we need to be excited about what God is doing. And I think that is the cure, for this apathetic, culture that kind of just, you just get swept into this whole media thing.
Yeah. Listen to this quote here from Walt Mueller's book on advertising. And these guys are professional psychologists. They know how our brains work. You know, I think of the scripture that talks about just sheep, you know, just blindly following, you know, and we're called to be sheep as God's people, but there's a really, a negative side of being a sheep if you're being led by the wrong shepherd.
Right.
You know, just blindly following. And so we don't want to be dumb sheep just following, you know, but these guys are psychologists. And so here's a sentence from his book just indicating their mentality on the whole advertising industry. It says, "We've taken a page from Satan's book. Find a point of weakness and lust in every man, woman, and child and target that weakness to make them want to buy the product." So that's what we're up against. When you're being advertised to by this world, they're trying to target your natural inclinations, your lusts, whatever it might be, and they want to get you to buy what they're wanting you to buy. Mm-hmm. And it's all money driven. You know, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Totally true. That, you know, these people are motivated by making billions and billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. These gaming people, whatever, they're inventing these videos, games that's going to, you know, suck our young people in. And this is a just something we're up against. We have to realize it. They are trying to target the weaknesses that we naturally have.
Yeah. And the other thing to be really aware of is the agenda that's behind it all. And like the, you know, like as this guy was saying, the dictatorship thing, there are things that they want us, the world, the enemy, the greater powers out there. They're trying to... make us comfortable with things that we should not be comfortable with.
Right.
We shouldn't be comfortable with the horrible abominations that are, that we see today on the media. But the reality is, our children, if they're just watching what everyone's watching, they're becoming comfortable with abomination. Mm-hmm. It's becoming normal. It's becoming something we need to accept and we need to love. And so it's something that we just have to be so careful about. We have to understand the agenda. And it's something, you know, I'd really encourage you all to find out more information on it. Know what you're getting yourself into when you're just embracing the normal media culture out there. It's a scary world. And, you know, this media on the brain thing is, it's a really good eye-opening thing. So God created us to be excited and fascinated with things, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, we're hardwired that way.
I
mean, Satan's going to try to take advantage of that. But, yeah. You know, the true way we're meant to be is to be fascinated by him.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think we're gonna sign off for now. It's kind of a depressing topic here, but it's something we have to be aware of, and we have to know what we're getting into when we choose this path and when we choose the normal route. So this is media, and next week we're going to be talking about the good fascination, the things that that God created us to be fascinated by. It's good. He's got so much amazing things out there.
It's much better. His way is much better.
Much better. Yeah. So praise God. We're going to look into that next week. So many blessings to you. This is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved bridegroom. He is coming quickly.